So I want all of us just to be ready. Amen. Go ahead and get your pens out, notebooks, Bibles. Amen. Get ready to take some notes. And we're going to listen from our very own word, from our senior pastor. I believe a timely word on this area of evangelism to get us ready. Amen. Into what God wants to do within our lives. So let's go ahead and put our hands together as our very own senior pastor comes up and shares with us here this morning.
Amen. How many are happy here this morning to be not only in the house of the Lord, but in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Big difference. Big difference. The presence of the Lord is something that's very, very vital and needed in order for there to be transformation within our lives. Amen. I want to thank everybody for being here. From you, we welcome you. Those viewing for the first time through Facebook, we welcome you. And I'm just real excited. Again, the young adults are having their first service downstairs. Amen. They have their own sanctuary downstairs. Just a mini sanctuary downstairs under this sanctuary. So they're going to have a real powerful time. I know they've been working hard towards having a successful turnout. And where the presence of the Lord is able not only to reach older people like me, but young people that really need to be reached in these days and times that we're living in right now. It don't really matter which side of the tracks you grew up on nowadays. Sin is all over the place. Drugs are all over the place. But we need to know that the presence of the Lord is all over the place as well. We need to know that our ministry is in over 33 countries all over the world. Amen. So I'm just excited here this morning to share the gospel in the area of evangelism. Amen. As we go to the word here this morning, the title of this morning's message is Opening of Eyes Evangelism. I know I don't have a flow to it. It don't make sense, but by the end of the service it will. Amen. Opening of Eyes Evangelism. As we go to 2 Kings chapter 6, once again, we're going to be meeting next door in the grass lot right here, the playground we have. And at 1:30, we're going to have many teams are going to take different streets around the vicinity of the church. And at the same time, we're going to have hot dogs, brats, hamburgers being cooked. And we're going to invite the neighborhood over to have a bite to eat. But most importantly, we're going to be ministering to them. Out there in their front yard, it's going to be a beautiful day today. And I really believe that the true church is the one beyond these walls. Amen. And we are the body of Christ that needs to take it beyond the walls. Too many churches operating within the walls. Amen. There's a need out there that needs to be met that's in bondage, that just stuck. They don't even have to be in addiction nowadays to be stuck. You can be highly educated with finances and be stuck in what we call life. So sometimes the church needs to be mobile, not just this building, this address of a building, but we have a mobile church, amen? We have a mobile church. We are the true body of Christ, the temple of Christ. So where we move, we're able to have church wherever we want to, amen? Even in any street corner, on a good street corner, on the worst street corner, amen, we're able to have great success, amen, because it's part of the Great Commission and the Lord sending out the disciples and making disciples. And at the real end, he says, and I will be with you to the end of the age, amen. As we go down the streets after service today, amen, the Lord's going with us. And that's the key factor, right? That's the game changer right there. That it's just not us, but it's the Lord going with us. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. As we read, there was a battle taking place with the enemy and with the Israelites. Amen. And I'm going to share on prayer here this day. Amen. And how vital it is within your life and my life to be able to see correctly, to be able to discern correctly. Amen? As we read, one day the group of prophets came to Elijah and told him, As you can see, this place where we meet, Second Kings, let's go to, that was my fault, not Janie's. Let's go to verse 8. That was Friday's message there. We're picking up right after, off of Friday's message and about the floating axe head, amen? So, correction there, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 18. We're going to do a little bit of reading. I want everybody to follow along, and then I'll come around and break it down, amen? When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." This is the enemy, amen? But immediately Elijah, the man of God, amen, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It is not us, my lord, the king," one of the officers replied. "Elijah, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elijah is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army, amen, with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, in other words, Elijah was in a house with a young servant, amen, Elijah the prophet. When the servant of the man got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. The young disciple responded, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" Question mark. The young man cried to Elijah. And Elijah responds here in verse 16, "Don't be afraid," Elijah told him, "for there are more on our side than on theirs." Then Elijah prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean, I'm getting stuck on my words this morning, Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory, all the honor. We thank you for all you have already done within our lives. But here this day, we come with an expectancy, with a stirring within our heart right now that there's still more that you want to do in each and every one of our lives. And that there's still men and women and young adults beyond these walls hurting in bondage, in addiction, lost and bound, Lord. And I pray here this day by the preaching of your gospel, Lord, that our eyes be open, Lord, to what you have for each and every one of us here this day, and what you have for those that soon after the service is over with will receive as we make our way to them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. So here we find a battle taking place. And every time the enemy was about to attack, the Israelite army knew about it because there was a prophet called Elijah that would warn them, the Bible said, time after time after time, to where it came to where the enemy, the king, thought that one of his own fellow officers was the one that was a traitor that was giving up the plans. Amen? But it was not so. There was a prophet called Elijah, amen, that the Bible refers to as the man of God. And as we see through the story, we see him pray, not only for his young servant, but he even prayed against the enemy as they were advancing. So here this day, I put here an opening point in my notes. In the battles we face, how many facing a battle right now? Okay, well, how many want to tell the truth now? How many are facing a battle right now? There's a battle taking place that you've been trying to get victory in, whether it's a personal battle or a battle that's taking place with someone else that's affecting your life, your thinking, and what you want to do. And you've tried everything, but yet it seems like time after time you're being defeated, even going about it the right way. You feel defeated right now. You feel surrounded. As that young man that went out early that morning and saw the chariots and horses surrounding them, didn't know what to do. He turned to the prophet and says, what do we do? And I believe there's somebody here this morning that's wondering, what do I actually have to do to get victory in this area within my life or in my relationship with my wife, husband, children, whatever it may be? And I believe if that's you here this day or you viewing through Facebook, that you're going to get the answer here this day through the word of the Lord. In the battles we face, we will always feel outnumbered, surrounded by the enemy. It's God's way. Sometimes it don't feel fair, it don't feel right that God would allow us to go through such things, even when we want to do it the right way. But it's just God's way of letting you and I know that we need him. Could you imagine if every battle you face, you could take care of it, it was just gone at the moment of? We would have no need for God. We're living in a time in this world right now, as sharp as you may be, amen, with finances, a great job, amen. This world we live in now has gotten so complex, so where many things are now have become out of our hands. Out of our hands. And though it may look like it's now in the hands of the enemy, the truth is it's in the hands of the Lord. And the reason that it looks like everything that's taking place right now in this end time world that we're living in is in the hands of the enemy is because you can see it taking place in our city. You can see it taking place on the news, not just within our city, but all around the world. You can see it in the natural. But I want to let you know here this day that there's a greater work that's taking place right now that is of God that you're not going to be able to see in the natural. And just because you can't see it in the natural don't mean that God has a plan put together right now, amen, that started at the cross, amen. It's real close to taking place, the coming of the Lord. And we need to have our eyes opened. Our eyes need to be spiritually opened to see the plan of God. But too many Christians that go to church All they can talk about is the plan of the enemy, the work of the enemy. He's doing this now. Now my daughter's doing this. My son, my whatever, my parents. Now this is taking place. And all we can witness and talk about is what the devil is doing. I want to let you know here this morning as I get into the message. Prayer is important. It's vital. It's vital to be able to see what Jesus is doing right now in our midst. To see what he's doing. Not just believe it, but to be able to see it, your eyes got to be open spiritually. The battles we face is just simply God's way of drawing his son, his daughters close to him. That's all the Lord is trying to do right now. He's good at using circumstances to draw a man or a woman or a young adult unto him. I don't know about you, but a messed up life is what brought me to Jesus. It wasn't as I was doing so good. I said, you know what? I'm going to church today. It was a messed up life where everything the world had to offer all of a sudden was no longer working. There was a void in my life that couldn't be filled with what the world had to offer. You're looking at a former big-time drug dealer, ex-drug addict of many years, prison, heroin addiction, OD'd over 15 times. And I stand before you now being able to see the plan of God. 23 years now without touching a drop of alcohol, not a puff of a cigarette, married to the same woman for 23 years. I haven't even cussed in 23 years. Because God has changed my life. He was able to show me who he was, who I was, and what he wanted done, not only in my life, but what he wanted to do through my life. And this is part of it as I'm preaching the gospel here this morning. I would have never guessed, my mom and dad would have never said that I would become a minister, preaching the truth instead of lying all the time. But here I am 23 years later preaching the truth. Amen. Because the Bible says that the truth will set you free. So I want to encourage you here today, no matter what the battle may be that you're facing, amen, to be able to see the truth and apply the truth, prayer is going to have to be activated within your life. Not a religious prayer, amen. Lord, bless my food and start. No, we're talking being by yourself with the Lord, an intimacy with the Lord, having a personal relationship with the Lord where it's just you and him. It's not the news. It's not the phone calls that will come during the day of bad news. Just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord. Here within this story, we see two different reactions by two men, two responses. Amen. Seeing the same thing. The young man saw the same thing that Elijah the prophet saw. Horses and chariots surrounding them. They both saw the same thing in the natural, but there was two different responses, one of the young man and the other of the prophet called Elijah. Amen? The young man in verse 15, the Bible says, let's go to the real second to the last line. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elijah. He saw, he was able to see what the enemy was about to do. Because it was literally surrounding him. It was in the natural. It was plain for him to see that they were outnumbered, because remember, Scripture said a great army. He sent a great army with chariots and horses, and it was just the young servant and Elijah, two against a great army. The odds were not in their favor, and the young servant knew that. So he asked the question, what will we do now? And I believe there's a lot of Christians caught in that place right now. The enemy has struck, he has advanced, he has entered your home, and you're having problems getting him out. So you might find yourself at church here this day viewing through Facebook, and you're going to learn how to get them out. In verse 16, the Bible says that Elijah responded, "Don't be afraid." He saw the same thing this young man was seeing in the natural. Elijah checked it out. They were surrounded. Looked at the youngsters and says, "There's no need to be tripping right now. We got this. For there is more of us on our side than of theirs." And I believe the young servant had glasses. I believe he had to take them off and he put them back on. Was probably thinking Elijah was using drugs or something. Elijah said, "Don't be afraid." Elijah told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. You see, our walk with the Lord is not based off of feelings and what we see and what we hear. It's based off the truth of the Lord and what's in His living Word. Tells us, the Bible says that the young servant, go back to 15, please. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, it was as if Elijah and the young servant were under the same roof, in the same home. Amen? Tells us under the same roof, one can see and one can be blind. Even if you're living with Elijah the prophet, in other words, it's up to you to get to God. I can give you instructions, direction, and examples. I can model prayer. But yet this young servant couldn't see spiritually. And under the same roof, even though he was with Elijah the prophet that was giving the king of Israel all the plan of the enemy, where they were going to attack on this day, on that day, at each place, even though he was living with the prophet, he still was blind. He was not naturally blind because he was able to see the chariots and the horses all around. He could see, but he couldn't see God. He couldn't see the chariots on fire, the horses and chariots on fire, what Elijah was able to see. See, what Elijah was able to see and why he was able to say that there's more of us than there is of them, because Elijah was able to see what God was doing. That what God was doing was what was surrounding the work of the enemy. So here this day, what are you seeing based on the battle you're facing? Because you're going to be seeing it either one way or the other. You're going to be seeing it in the natural for what it is, or you can see it spiritually. God's about to do something right here. My daughter's messing up because God's about to do something. My son's messing up, but God's about to do something right now. My marriage is on the rocks because God's about to do something right now. Elijah looked at it and said, "Woo, God's about to do something right now. Woo, this little young servant of mine, after today, ain't going to be a young servant. He's going to be a man of God also, because he's about to see spiritually what God is about to do." It was like the blindfolds were going to come off today. And this is what's about to take place when we go into the streets today. We're going to be praying for people, because prayer allows one to see that God is on their side and that they're not alone and that there is help on its way. There's a prophet in town. There's a church in town. That after church, we're going to go and have some more church in the streets, and we're going to continue. Not just the pastor being the messenger, but the flock is going to be the messenger. And we're going to pray for the people, and we're going to let them know there's more of us than there is of them. And we start ministering to people, they're going to start pouring out their problems to us. Man, this is what's going on with my son, my daughter. This is what's going on in my marriage right now. And we're going to hear what's going on. But as we pray for them, their eyes are going to be open to be able to see Jesus. To be able to receive a hope and a faith. Say, you know what? Man, I ain't stuck. It just does something to somebody's perception, discernment. When prayer takes place, it brings a hope and a faith that wasn't there before we got there. But there you'll find a man, a woman broken. Not at the church altar, but broken in their front porch, at their backyard. Because the church is mobilizing here this morning to go meet the needs out there. Too many times we're looking for confirmation through people in what to do. What do I do now? This is all you got to do, man. Do this. Hey, if she don't like it, just, man, skip her. Too many times we're looking for confirmation through people when Jesus with us is all the confirmation we need. In verses 9 and 11, the Bible reads, "But immediately Elijah, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, do not go near that place. For the Armenians," oh my Jesus, Felipe, say it. Armenians are planning to mobilize their troops there. So the king of Israel would send word to the place, indicating by the man of God, time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" I put here, prayer does not only let you discern the plan of God. Prayer does not only let you discern the plan of God, but also the plan of the enemy is able to be exposed. Amen. Any boxer, any fighter studies the other opponent, the other boxer, karate guy, whatever it is, even in sports, in football, basketball, they study the opposing team and stuff over and over. Amen. So prayer does not only allow you and I to discern God's plan, but also the plan of the enemy. So when the plan of the enemy is taking place within your life, family, marriage, whatever, you're able to say, this ain't of the Lord. This is a work of the enemy right here. This is the work of the enemy. This is not the work of the Lord. In verse 17, the Bible reads, "When Elijah prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots," but this time, of fire. Prayer has a way of opening your eyes to see God's plan for your life. Amen. Let's go to verse 18. I feel like skipping that word right now. As the man army advanced toward him, Elijah prayed, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. I put here in my notes, prayer also has a way of shutting your eyes to the enemy's plan, your past, as well in shutting your eyes to his temptations. To be able to shut your eyes to your past. We all have a past. And too many times we're locked into our past. And here Elijah the prophet prayed, not only for his young servant's eyes to be open, and they were, But he also prayed against the enemy that they would be blinded. That they would be blinded. The presence of God will always outweigh the work of the enemy. The presence, prayer brings the presence of the Lord. As the praise and worship was taking place, the presence of the Lord falls. And it starts priming your heart and preparing your heart and your mind to hear the word, for the word can fall upon good ground, fertile ground. Amen. The Lord wants to produce a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold in your life. Even in the battle you're in right now, he's called us all to be victorious. He won't remove the battle or the fight, amen, but he will give us victory. The presence of God or prayer will always outweigh the work of the enemy. I put here altar call vision. We make altar calls in our church. And we come to the altars, and some come broken, and they come with burdens and needs that they're being defeated in. And all of a sudden, the presence of God falls. And I call it altar call vision. And all of a sudden, the Lord starts ministering to you and starts giving you a plan of how to counter the work of the enemy. He starts allowing you to see what he wants done. Altar call vision. In one setting I put here, in one setting of the presence of God, one setting of the presence of God is able to outweigh a lifetime of sin. 23 years ago, I entered the Church of Victor Outreach in Salinas, California. All the way in Northern California, the following day, the day before coming out of prison, found myself in church with a pack of smokes in my pocket. Hey, man, big old mustache. Working out for years on the back row, saying, what am I doing here? What are these people doing? They're weird. And the truth was, I was the weird one. But then something happened when the praise and worship started. The message went forth. It drew me to the altar in an instant. Within the presence of God, the power of God came down so powerful that it outweighed my lifetime of sin that I had done for many, many, many years, even being brought up in an educated home, educated parents. Right there in the presence of God, it was nothing I did, it was what God did. I just followed the leading of the Lord. And I said, the last thing I want to do is go up there. That looks dumb. I can't do that. Full of pride at the time. But something happened when I came at the altar and I became broken in the presence of the Lord. Where not only did he start removing things from my life, softening my heart, renewing my mind, but he would start speaking to me immediately that he was going to use me. And all the way up to that point, I said, oh, you made a mistake there. You can't use me. I'm all messed up. I'm lucky I'm here this morning. Over 23 years ago. But he had the right person. I just have been the wrong person for so long. There was nothing right in me. But he's the one that makes us righteous. What he did at the cross gives us the opportunity to become righteous in Jesus. One setting of the presence of God is able to outweigh a lifetime of sin, a lifetime of blindness. I thought I knew what the score was, what time it was. Mom and Dad were dumb, though they had bachelor degrees and everything. They were old-fashioned. They didn't know what I was going through. But man, Mom and Dad knew what they were saying, man, many years later. I would say, man, Mom and Dad were right. Because when we're young, even when we get older, and pride is still in there and we're still blind, we think we're doing okay. We can justify our actions and say, I'm doing okay. But right now, in the presence of God, the true measuring stick It's here this day, and God's allowing you to know where you're really at right now. Too many times we think we're doing much better than we really are, or we can think that we're doing much worse than we really are. And that's the lies of the enemy right there. But here this day, the Lord wants to, hone in on your heart, on your thinking, on your mind right now, and say, brother, sister, this is where you're really at. And this is where we got to start the work at. This is where you're at right now. I'm okay. It'll be all right. I'll be all right. No, you won't. You need Jesus right now. Times are getting really bad. Times are getting really bad. Every morning I get to experience the presence of God in my home, not the church, but in my home. I was up at 5 in the morning today. As I get with the Lord and just sit there with the Lord and meditate and putting the word together and what the Lord would want for your life. See, because if we can't get it here this morning, we're not going to be able to give beyond these walls when we go to the streets. My dad used to tell me when I used to go out and party with my friends, he goes, the blind leading the blind. He used to always tell me that. And I never knew what he meant. Amen. I was that stuck. The church ain't meant to be blind. We don't want to spend another 3 hours after service today. Amen. Giving false information, being blinded, using God's word, but blind. We don't want to go forth as religion because religion kills. Religion kills. Many churches having service today that ain't doing nothing for the community. But I know here we have a people that have been set free, not just here locally in Milwaukee, but in our Great Lakes region and all around the world. God never designed me or intended for my life to be a drug addict. You know, I say it again, when I was in elementary, junior high, the teacher asked, what are you going to be 5 years? And I always told him, I'm going to be a zookeeper or a basketball coach because I love sports, I lived in the country, and I loved animals. Well, I didn't become the basketball coach, and I didn't become a zookeeper either. I became a drug addict. And I believe there's sometimes we make mistakes that we say, how did I do that? Blindness. Blindness. God has given our ministry a strategy of street evangelism that has advanced the kingdom of God all around the world. Amen. All around the world. I truly believe the church that the Lord died for was the sick, the lame, amen, are those that are out there right now. And nowadays, it's on both sides of the tracks. It's not just on the north side or the south side, but it's on the east and the west just as much now. Education don't have the answer no more. Finances, money don't have the answers no more. The answer is Jesus. We have Jesus, so we're going with the answer when we go to the community surrounding the church here. Which means our city as well. But too many times, even though the enemy is hitting with vengeance right now, there are some other churches that are just lazy. They're lucky if they make it to church. More or less be a servant of the Lord, because that's what's going to enter heaven. Welcome in, my good and faithful servant. Are you a servant of the Lord? That's why it's so important that we get involved. Amen. I have a picture of the big snow we had this winter. The winter was being really mellow, and then we cut all that snow. 99.9 of all churches closed. Why do I say 99.9? Because ours was open. Amen. I drove all the way from Germantown in a little four-cylinder little car with all-wheel drive on it. Amen. In that storm, in that snow and everything. Never thinking once and say, you know what, Pastor Felipe, you know what, just cancel the service, put a sign at the door and saying there's no church. Because when I was running with the world, nothing canceled me going out there running with the devil 24/7. I don't care if it was raining, not raining, too hot, too cold, whatever it was. See, the work of the enemy is never canceled. It is up and running around the clock, 7 days a week. I believe the church should also to be able to meet the need. And that's why the work of the enemy is advancing, because a lot of work is being put into it. But for proof, if you turn the stage lights off and give me the snow picture, amen? All right. Get these stage lights off, please. Better. I was going to put another one, but I was talking on the other one, and you guys might get mad at me if you heard what I said. So I chose not to put the other one up there. Amen. We had ushers that dug, I don't know how many of those, for people to come and to walk through. You can leave the lights off. Leave the lights off. We did everything that day, hours and hours of the snow work hadn't been done to keep the doors on. I said, Pastor Felipe, he said, Pastor, we just canceled the service. I says, no, we're not canceling the service. I says, there's still Facebook, and we're still going to reach a lot of people through Facebook. I ain't going to let snow shut down a service, the gospel from going forward. I said, the drug addicts are still going to score today. I guarantee you people are still going to the bars tonight. I guarantee you. So on that day, church did not get closed. We pressed in to allow the good news to go forth, because God has done something in our lives to allow us to press in for others now. Give me the other photo, please. This was on Facebook the other day. Just shows a guy locked up with a stick. Amen. He's going for that bread. And there's a key right next to it. And he's got a long nose. He's like Pinocchio. He must be a liar. He's probably in there for lying. I didn't get that one when I sent the picture. I just got that revelation. He was probably a habitual liar and got locked up for being a habitual liar. Good thing nobody in our church has a big nose. If you keep them busy with basic needs, it reads, they will forget about the freedom they lost. That's what's going on, people, in that picture right now in this world. That's what's taking place right now. There's people just looking out for themselves, trying to meet their needs, their wants. Just their wants. That's a want of that man. When the key is just as close as that bread is. Same distance. That's a lot of Christians right there. They're behind bars. They're locked up. They're just meeting their own needs and their own wants. That's the church of today right there. For many, in many churches, that's the pastor right there. That's the pastor. These are the demonic times and that we're living in, darkened times we're living in right now, where people are all out for themselves, being very selfish. My whole life is devoted to the Lord because He saved me from death over and over and over. And He just didn't get me off of addiction. He put a call and a purpose and a vision within my life to be doing what I'm doing right now, using the key. If you keep them busy with basic needs, they will forget about the freedom they lost. The bread represents the natural resources. The key there represents the truth, which is the bread of life, the key, the bread of life. The cell represents bondage, blindness. Because I believe he can't even see the key. All he sees is the bread. Because this world has a way of allowing us just to see certain things. In Spanish, we say, lo que te conviene. Which means in English, what is it? What's in it for you? And all we can see is the natural resources your job is able to provide, the natural resources this world is able to provide, education is able to provide, money is able to provide, natural resources. But in this day and time that we're living in right now, we need spiritual resources. We need our eyes to be open. We need to be able to see the key. We need to be able to see the bread of life, that it's so much more important than the natural resources that we kill ourselves working for every day of the week to remain blinded. The beauty of our ministry, it's all over the world. The color of our ministry is black, white, and brown. You go to about any church right now, and it's going to be 99.9 one color, whether it's black, white, or brown. Milwaukee, still year after year in statistics, year after year. And segregation is the number one. And the number one segregated day is Sunday in Milwaukee, and that's because of the churches. Why? They're blinded. They're blinded. They're more fixed on the color than the bread of life, than having the key for our brother and sister to get out of bondage, to be able to have their eyes open, to be able to see God, and not just the work of the enemy. The beauty of our ministry as well is that when we go out there today, we're not just going to pray for them and give them wisdom and allow their eyes to be open, that Jesus is with them and that they don't have to stay stuck, that they don't have to remain where they're at. We're all live witnesses right now. That a man or a woman, no matter what the past was, does not have to remain in bondage. Bondage is a decision. The lights are on here this day. And the beauty of our ministry, we're not only going to feed them, because a lot of churches feed them and leave them there in their corner, leave them there in their mess. But we have rehab homes for men and for women that I was in, that I directed for a lot of years in the rehab. I needed rehab help. That foundation was based on Jesus. All these men in the front row, these are guys that God has set free. They got the key now. They got the key. They don't have to be in bondage no more. They got the key now to lock the door on the enemy also, not just the open doors. So when we go out there and there's a troubled mother with a teen or a son or a daughter that's drug-ridden by drugs, we'll hear the complaint, say, okay, ma'am, we're getting happier and happier, waiting for her to stop talking before we can give her the great news that we got a place for her son, her daughter, to come in and receive Jesus, the bread of life, to give her a key, to give him a key. We're not just going to leave them out there, because we were once out there. One way or another, you were out there. One way or another, it may not have been through addiction, but one way or another, we were all out there. And here this day, I love all of you all, and I have proven that for 18, 19 years here, along with my wife, the leadership. But here this day, I want our needs to be shifted to their needs. To their needs, amen? Because if you're sitting here right now, you're blessed. You're blessed. I don't care what you might be going through, what struggle you might be facing. You're blessed because you were able to hear the uncut word of the Lord here this morning. The lights are on. The eyes have been opened. You're blessed. You now have a decision to make whether you want to stay blessed. But I'm going to make an altar call here. And what we're going to do, I was going to finish the service early, and I am. I'm excited here because I got my shorts ready. I got my Victor Alvarez shirt ready. We got the cooks ready. We got the hamburgers ready, the brats. We're so excited to go meet people with problems. Who in the heck wants more problems than you got already? We do, because we know we have Jesus. Pastor, I'm tired. That was a long message you asked me. I'm going home. I'm going home, man. I'm going to go rest. Your rest is found in Jesus. Amen. Not in no bed, no pillow. Amen. I'm excited right now for the lost and the bound because I don't forget that I at one time was one of them. In a bad way, in a very bad way. Mom and Dad's love and education couldn't help me. They didn't have the key. Grew up a Catholic under religion. Went to church every Sunday and never heard the word of Jesus ever. Mom and Dad did their best. But we got Jesus. We don't have religion to offer. We have Jesus to offer. And if he was able to do it for us, he can do it for anybody. So as we stand on this beautiful day, as the church, on behalf of the lost and the bound, we stand today. We get challenged today to let them know that there's more of us than there is of them. To let that mother know, man, there's an answer for her son and daughter. That marriage. I'm going to have key leaders in all the groups that are going out that can counsel, that can witness, take notes, get phone numbers, do follow-up with. Sometimes once ain't enough. You got to hear it over and over and over until it clicks. I'm going to open up the altars right now. Go ahead and I told Pastor Felipe not to put music, but I wasn't ready for an altar call. Just put some music real lightly, please, of prayer. And we can make it to the altar here this day. If you want to stay at your chairs, that's fine. But this altar call, the altar calls are usually for us. It's like the loaf of bread there with a stick. But this altar call is for others. This altar call is for others. We're going to go out beyond the walls of the church representing who Jesus is and what he's able to do. Even through an ex-messed up people like you and I, he's able to do signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to be laying hands and praying for people out there, and their eyes are going to be open with faith and hope. The church is going to come to them. We are the mobile church here this day. We're praying for the surrounding part of this church. We're going to keep mobilizing this area and go a little further, a little further. Amen. Turn the music up just a little bit louder, Tim, please. That's good. So just right now, let's just start interceding right now. It's not about us here right now. It's about them. There's mothers praying out there right now, wondering when the answer is going to come. It's right around the corner. It's right around the corner, Mom. It's right around the corner, Dad. We're right around the corner. It's coming. The answer's coming. Oh, in the name of Jesus. A mother's praying right now. A father's praying right now. There's a son, a daughter contemplating suicide right now that's saying, help, help, help. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, Lord, Father God. We know that you're able to do all things, Lord, Father God. But you need your body. You need the extensions of your hands and feet and mouth. You need your people, your sons and daughters, Lord. as your vehicles, as your instruments to go forth and carry forth your agape love, your unconditional love, Lord Father God, that will not judge them when we go out there, but love them, lead them, guide them, lead them unto salvation, and bring hope this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Bring more than a hamburger and a brat, the bread, but bring salvation, the bread of life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we not forget what you did for us, Lord. Oh, use us here this day, Lord Father God. Use us this day in a mighty, powerful way, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, use us, anoint us, appoint us here this day to do the miraculous, Lord Father God, and why you saved us, and why you gave us the key to life, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, why you went and snatched the keys of death from the enemy, Lord. Oh, we got the key today, Lord. We got the key, Lord Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that our faith, that we leave the church with great faith, Lord Father God, to believe for that mother, to believe for that single parent, Lord Father God. Oh, increase our faith here this day, Lord. Increase our faith here this day, Lord. Oh, use us here this day, Lord Father God. We're ready, Lord Father God. We come with the boldness to your throne here this day on the behalf of the lost and the bound, Lord Father God. We come to, in our time of need, Lord Father God, we shift it to the need beyond the walls of the church, Lord. Oh, that you would meet their needs, Lord Father God. Their spiritual needs, Lord Father God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, you're able to do all things, Lord. Your word says that we also are able to do all things through you who strengthens us, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. I pray for a divine anointing right now upon every man, woman, young adult, for every team that goes down every different street, Lord Father God, that you be on every street, on every team, Lord Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father God, that those that are lost by the end of today will be found, Lord Father God, by you, through us, Lord, through your body. We are the body of Christ that he is the head of. In the name of Jesus, Lord, use us, Lord. Use us, Lord Father God. If we were able to be used of the enemy, Lord Father God, to do what is wrong, not right, Lord, why can't we allow you to use us, Lord, to do what is right, to bring salvation, to bring the answers to this darkened world, this blinded world, Lord Father God. Bring hope, bring faith here this day, Lord Father God. Be with us, Lord. Allow them to see you within our lives. Allow us to use timely words, Lord Father God, of compassion, Lord Father God. Timely words, Lord Father God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, that we not forget what you took us out of, Lord Father God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We anticipate you doing a great work, Lord Father God, of opening the eyes, Lord, allowing them to see, Lord, and closing their eyes to the work of the enemy, whatever they may be facing, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. This is our purpose. We are the body of Christ. This is our purpose and why we have salvation. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would allow us to use our gifts that you have given us this day for the benefit of others, Lord. for the edifying of your body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That the gifts be activated here this day, Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That you allow your body, your church, Lord, to meet the needs here this day. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Your anointing here this day, Lord, that is able to break the yokes, the bondage of addiction, of anything that we're going to meet here this day, Lord, Father God. We have the victory over it, Lord. We have the authority, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bless this day, Lord. Bless this day. Oh, and then let them have an experience, Lord Father God, an experience that comes from you through your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I just want you to repeat after me this day. Just say, Jesus, this day, I pray that you use me to make a difference in somebody else's life by giving them the bread of life, which is you. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. A clap offering of faith in advance for what he's about to do, amen? Because he's already done it in our lives. It's time that we go do it for somebody else. God bless each and every one of y'all. If you have any questions, get to me, my wife, Pastor Felipe, or the leadership. We'll be meeting at 1 outside here in the church, grass lot there. But we're moving at 1:30, amen, in different teams and stuff. So you can go change if you want to shorts or go in your church clothes. It really don't matter, amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. Felipe, go right to your guy.